And now, Spirit of God, in the proclamation of your word, reveal to us the hidden mystery of your love in Christ, and strengthen our faith that we may approach you with boldness. Amen. Now, our scripture passage for today comes from the book of Revelation. Tradition says that the book of Revelation was written by John of Patmos, and it was written probably toward the end of the first century. It contains a vision of the end times, and it has cryptic, hard to understand images, although some of the images are very hopeful and comforting. Some people say that they have cracked the code of Revelation, and that they understand its meaning and can predict when the end of time will come and when the Lord Jesus will return. I would urge us all to be very cautious about putting too much credence in such proclamations, since scholars think that Revelation was written as a carefully coded message to the young churches, critical of the Roman Empire, which had become increasingly dangerous and hostile to the followers of Jesus. Revelation was meant to say, "This will not last. The kingdom of God is on the way and in fact is already here. So be comforted. Stay strong. Stay hopeful. Stay faithful." Come to think of it, that's not a bad message for us today, is it? There are times in our national calendar when we as a nation are given opportunity to remember and be grateful for our veterans, and one of these is in November, and one of them will be tomorrow. Now listen to the scripture passage from Revelation 7. "After this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white, with palm branches in their hands. They cried out in a loud voice, saying, 'Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.' And all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, singing, 'Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen.' Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, 'Who are these robed in white, and where have they come from?' I said to him, 'Sir, you are the one who knows. And then he said to me, 'These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
As I said before, we've got these two opportunities in our national calendar to remember and give thanks for our veterans. One is in November, the Veterans Day. And the other is Memorial Day, which will be celebrated tomorrow. Memorial Day was originally established to remember those who had died in wars, although now it's a time to remember all of those who have gone before us, whom we love and who are dear to us. The city of South Charleston held a community parade, and the cemetery where I often go to walk features flowers decorating the graves of loved ones. It's a time to remember. And memory can be a tricky thing. There's a story about three older women who were talking together, and one of them said, "When I go to the refrigerator, I can't even remember what I went there for." And the second one said, "Well, sometimes when I'm going up and down the stairs, I can't remember if I'm coming or going." And the third one said, "I guess I'm lucky, knock on wood. I don't have that problem. Oh, listen, there's somebody at the door." One of our older comedians said that he can always find his car on the parking lot. It's the one with the lights on. Memory is a tricky thing. But there are some things, however, that we should never forget, and one of these is the sacrifices that were made on our behalf. It was a spring morning in 1866, just after the Civil War that had devastated both the country and especially the South. A group of Southerners did something quite extraordinary. They marched down the streets of what was left of their town to a cemetery, and there they decorated the graves of all the soldiers. All the soldiers. The Confederates, as well as the Union. The mothers and daughters and widows had buried their dead, and now they had begun to bury their hatred. The time for healing had come, and this was the first Memorial Day. Have you ever thought about why Memorial Day is observed in May? It doesn't recall some historic battle. It's not the date of the start of some war or the signing of an armistice. Why then in May? There's a very practical reason. It's a time when flowers bloom, flowers with which to decorate graves. A long time ago, Memorial Day was called Decoration Day, and it was a time when cemeteries were filled with people who had come to plant a flower or place a garland or unfurl a flag or to say a prayer, and some still do. And while many of us will observe the day tomorrow with picnics and outdoor grilling, or maybe even taking an opportunity to work in our gardens, it's also a time to remember all of those who have gone on before us, and to acknowledge that we owe a debt to those who have preceded us. You and I do not have what we have, or we are not who we are, by our own efforts alone. Maybe there is no greater myth than that of the self-made man or self-made woman. We owe an enormous debt from the time we come into this world. And some of that debt can only begin to be repaid by our determining to make this world a better place. But some of that debt is owed to young men and women who shed their blood on the battlefield, or who come back from that experience so damaged that life is never the same for them. And to honor their sacrifice is not to glorify war. War is the ultimate blasphemy against God. It would be nice if we lived in a world where people always played by the rules, and where no one coveted their neighbor's property, and where never again we would have to depend on military might, the support of which so much of our national resources are dedicated to. But such a world does not yet exist. Our faith tells us that there will be a day like that someday. The Old Testament prophet Isaiah says, "The time will come when our swords will be beaten in to plowshares. Our instruments of war will be transformed into instruments of peace." When the war between the states flared up, a young Texan enlisted and marched off to fight with his friends. "We won't be gone long," he claimed, "because we can lick the Yankees with broomsticks." 4 years later, when the fighting had stopped and the young man came home, a beaten man, one of his neighbors said, "What happened? I thought you were going to beat the Yankees with broomsticks." "Well, we could have," replied the young man, "but we couldn't get them to fight with broomsticks." It would be wonderful if we could totally eliminate our defense establishment with the knowledge that no nation would ever commit aggression against its neighbor again. And that's not the way the world is, at least not yet. And thus, through the centuries, young men and women have been sacrificed in conflicts of every nature. And so we remember those who have offered their lives believing that they were making the world safer, freer, and more humane. Of course, there are others who have given their lives for us who never wore a uniform or carried a weapon. Our scripture today talks about those who have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. There have been hundreds of thousands who have given their lives as the followers of Jesus Christ. Numberless ones who have made such sacrifices through the ages. In the first century, in 64 AD, the Apostle Peter and the Apostle Paul were executed under the Roman Emperor Nero. They refused to disavow their allegiance to Jesus Christ and to worship the emperor. And they were not the only ones. The steadfastness of those early followers of Jesus meant that the faith continued and flourished. Has your life been centered and given meaning by your relationship to Jesus Christ? Remember and be thankful to those who were willing to give their lives out of loyalty to Jesus. In 1536, William Tyndale was burned at the stake for the heresy of translating the New Testament into English. William Tyndale believed that everyone should be able to read the Bible in their own language, and for that, he gave his life. Has reading the scriptures enriched your life of faith? It began with William Tyndale's sacrifice. In Ecuador in 1956, there was a group of North American missionaries who initially had friendly interactions with the indigenous tribes in that area, but they were later speared to death. It marked the transformation of their relationship with that tribal group, and now, nearly 80 years later, there is a strong and thriving Christian community in that area of Ecuador. Can God bring something good out of tragedy? Always. We have to have eyes to see and ears to hear. So today, we remember those who have died in battle. We also remember committed followers of Jesus Christ. They died in battle too. The battle between light and darkness, and we dare not forget them. And there is one more that we need to remember this day. It is the Lamb himself, the Lamb who was slain before the foundations of the world. The story of the cross is that God accepts us as his own beloved children. We may not understand why it had to be this way, but we look at the cross and we see an open door. And thus we remember. We remember those who died that we might live in freedom. We remember those who died that we might live in the faith. We remember Christ who died that we might be reconciled to God and to each other. And that is the ultimate meaning of Memorial Day. It's a time to remember and a time to finish what they started. They were shooting the movie Yankee Doodle Dandy on the day after Pearl Harbor, and the cast listened as President Roosevelt announced on the radio that the United States was now at war with Germany and Japan. At that point, Michelle Curtis came on the soundstage with Jimmy Cagney, and they all listened in silence for the national anthem to finish. And as the women dabbed tears from their eyes and the men were deeply moved, Curtis said in his best Hungarian accent, "Now, boys and girls, we have work to do. We have had bad news, but we have a wonderful story to tell the world. So let's put away sad things and begin." And that's our challenge, too. We remember with sadness and with gratitude the sacrifices that have been made by those who have gone on before us. And now we go out to tell our story. Amen.